of Elijah. We'll begin studying the life of Elisha. And so I'm looking forward to it, have thoroughly enjoyed it. This is our third lesson, our third week in this new series. And of course, as we have gone through, we kind of in the first week spent some time dealing with the setting, the scene, if you will, for Elijah's ministry. And he just comes on the scene in a hurry. And 1 Kings 17 and verse number 1, it's just announced that he's there. And we got some background information. But last week, as we looked at the verses 2 through 6 in 1 Kings chapter number 17, we rejoiced in knowing that God provides direction for His servants. What a joy it is to know that our God has been faithful to provide us with direction. And it is certainly important, as we noted last week, the obedience of Elijah. And really, as we mentioned about his obedience, we said that it revealed to us his faith, that he believed God. He trusted that what God was telling him would come to pass, would indeed come to pass. He was supernaturally cared for at the brook Cherith. And this week, as we move into verse number 7, you notice that the Bible says this, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." And I just want to take some time this evening to just look at this single verse of Scripture. We do not know exactly how long Elijah had been at Cherith at this particular time. We simply know that the Bible says it came to pass after a while. And a while is an unspecified period of time. It doesn't matter if you look in the Hebrew, if you look in Greek, it doesn't matter. It is not specified as to the period of time. But what we know is that for whatever the duration of time was that Elijah was there at the brook Cherith, he had been supernaturally provided for. Remember that God told him that he would drink of the brook and that God had commanded the ravens to feed him. And as we read verse number 6, the Bible told us that the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Isn't that awesome? And he didn't need Uber Eats or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, God just worked supernaturally. And we mentioned a little bit last week as we studied the portion of Scripture that ravens, by their nature, are scavengers. And so therefore, not something that you would expect to take place, but God is in control of His creation, and God commanded these ravens to bring the provision. And sure enough, each morning and each evening, Elijah, the man of God, received the bread and the flesh that was provided for him. But we notice that after this period of time, after a while, the Bible says the brook dried up. And it tells us why, because there had been no rain in the land. Now you'll remember that it was Elijah that made that proclamation in verse number 1, and we studied that a couple of weeks ago, and as we looked at the proclamation of Elijah, he made the statement that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And we find that there's no rain in the land, and therefore the brook dried up. This evening, the title for the lesson is simply that, the brook dried up. Now, there's a major change of circumstances for Elijah in his life. And I believe that as we come to verse number 7 as kind of an in-between his time at the brook Cherith and his time at Zarephath, as we'll study next week, there's some lessons for us to learn when the brook dried up. I want you to consider with me this evening how it is that we should respond during a time such as this that Elijah is facing in his own life. And number one, if you're taking notes this evening, we need to resist the temptation to doubt. Resist the temptation to doubt. See, when the brook dries up, there is the potential for each of us as human beings to respond with a level of doubt as to what is taking place. Perhaps we'd begin to worry. That doubt would lead us into worry. But we find that that temptation may be present for each of us in a time such as this where the brook dries up. But we must resist that temptation to come to that place or begin to doubt. Why are we here? Did we really listen? Did we really do what we're supposed to do? Was it really certain? No. We're not going to go down that path. We're not going to allow ourselves to begin to doubt what God has told us. And we must resist that temptation. No doubt in my mind that when we face challenges, when we face difficulties in our lives, that there are times that our minds play games with us. There are times that we begin to lean on our own understanding, our own logic, our own reason, and we can entertain some things. We can go down that path of doubt, of second guessing, of wondering all of these things, but we need to resist that temptation. It was important for Elijah in this particular time in his life when the brook dried up. It's important that he did not begin to doubt the leadership of God, that he did not doubt the ability of God. He had to resist that temptation. Number two, we need to remember that God is all-knowing. See, in times of difficulty, in moments of adversity, it is imperative for us as the people of God to remember the character of God. And we look at this particular text of Scripture, and we find that the Bible says that the brook dried up. Now, we know that God knows all things. He is eternal. Amen? He has perfect knowledge. He is omniscient, and He's all-knowing. He is Alpha and Omega. And no doubt when God told Elijah in verse number 3, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan," that God knew exactly what was going to happen. God was well aware of all of the events and circumstances that Elijah would endure, but God led him to that place. And as God led him to that place and he deals with a time in his life where the brook dried up, it's important for us. What do we do? How do we respond when the brook dries up? Yes, we resist the temptation of doubt, but we also need to remember that our God is all-knowing. See, when we rest in the character of who our God is, when we rehearse the text of Scripture that God would use in our lives to encourage us and strengthen us in moments of adversity, in moments of difficulty, that we would come to that place where we recognize, God, I didn't know about this. I didn't know this was going to happen, but God, this didn't surprise you. See, there are times in our lives where we get surprised by our circumstances, right? Something happens, it surprises us. But nothing ever surprises God, right? Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful that our God is all-knowing, that He's eternal, and nothing ever catches God off guard. It's never been a time in all of history that God said, "I didn't see that coming." Now, there are plenty of times in our lives where we've said, "I didn't see that coming. I didn't realize it was going to work out that way. That's not how I planned it." We ever use those kind of, right? It happens. But that's not our God. And so in the moment when the brook dries up, and we only have one verse of Scripture here, but I think that there's, as we look at the passage and we consider Elijah in that moment, and we find what takes place, but I want us to be there and be with him. And I want you to consider that the Bible says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up." You know, the reality is that I'm sure that it didn't just happen one morning. You could kind of see it getting smaller and smaller, right? It eventually dries up. And God could have given Elijah more direction before it dried up completely. But God, in His omniscience, He was proving His servant, and He was going to reveal truth to him. And it was important for us as we look at this event in Elijah's life that we could glean and learn some valuable lessons for ourselves. So we remember that God is all-knowing. Not only is He omniscient, but He's eternal. And we ought to rejoice in that this evening. Number three, if you're taking notes, we need to rest in His plan. Rest in the plan of God. This evening, we acknowledge readily that God is the Creator. Amen? He is the Creator. You know, there are a couple of necessities that we have as human beings. And water happens to be one of them. Amen? That's how God made us. Right? God made us that we are dependent upon water. Yes, we need food. But you know, you could live longer without food than you can without water. Proven, medicine, it's just the way it is. You need water. By the way, God knows what we need. And we need to rest in His plan. And we find that as the Creator, think about what He says over, if you just hold your place there in 1 Kings and turn to the book of Matthew, if you would, just for a moment, Matthew chapter number 6. It's a powerful passage of Scripture that reminds us of the plan of God. And God knowing what it is that we need, we've mentioned that He's all-knowing. He does have a plan in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number, we'll just kind of jump in the middle of the text of Scripture, but in verse number 30 it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore," verse 31 of Matthew 6, "take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father," what's that next word? "Knoweth that ye have," what is it? "Need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we find that here in that moment when the brook dries up, when the adversity and the difficulty comes, it's important that we rest in the plan of God. It's important that we maybe say something like this if we're Elijah in this particular situation: "Lord, I know that You have led me to this place." Right? I mean, we studied it last week. We know that God gave the commandment. It was God that in no uncertain terms made it abundantly clear to His servant Elijah, this is the specific place for you to go. He didn't just say, get out of the king's palace and go somewhere where you can find safety and refuge. No, He told him specifically where to go. And we find that Elijah, understanding what God had commanded him to do, "Lord, I know that You've led me here, and I know that You knew all of these things would happen before I even am aware of them. And God, help me to rest in Your plan for my life. Help me, God, to see Your hand at work." But I want you to think about this evening as we consider when the brook dries up, and I want you to think about these first few thoughts. Resist the temptation of doubt. Remember that God is all-knowing. Rest in His plan. And I want you to think about that response, and then consider with me the response of the children of Israel that we often read just after the Exodus. It went something like this: "Moses, did you bring us here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt?" How many of you have read it before? You know it to be the case, right? That's what they were saying. They weren't resting in the plan of God. They weren't resting that God had a plan and that God knew what He was doing. They were worried about their own lives, and they were going to die in the wilderness. And each time as you look at the children of Israel, you find that it was God leading them. By the way, Moses did not have some compass and tracking a particular route for them. It was that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the presence of God that was leading the nation of Israel. And God led them. You read over in Exodus chapter number 13 and chapter 14, and you read as they were leading up to the crossing of the Red Sea, and you find at the end of chapter 13 how God led them. He didn't lead them in the convenient path because He knew that they'd see war and they'd want to go back, and He led them specifically to a place. And if you read Exodus chapter number 14 before the crossing of the Red Sea, they're standing there chiding with Moses and saying, because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. Right? What about the water? We go to in Exodus 15, they're rejoicing. Why? Because they had just seen amazing victory. They had just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And they're singing the song of Moses. Read it in Exodus 15. And then there's bitter water. "Oh, You brought us here to die." Right? Read chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. What you see throughout all of the chapter, the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, is how God supernaturally provided manna for His people. I mean, every morning when they went out, there was manna. It's amazing. God's prescribed for them exactly how they were to gather up, and on the sixth day, gather twice as much. And some of those knuckleheads didn't listen to the direction, and they tried to gather more earlier in the week, and it rotted, it spoiled, it stunk, right? And then some of them didn't want to go out. They tried to go out on day seven because they didn't believe that it would stay, but it stayed like God said. And then you read Exodus 17. There's no water. Rephidim, read it. There's no water. Once again, Oh, you let us hear so we can die. I'm illustrating it this evening in looking at just those few chapters of the book of Exodus, because we're going to face adversities. We're going to face difficulties and challenges in our life. And when Elijah is at this place where the brook dried up, when we face a time in our life where the brook dries up, what do? How do we respond? Do we just throw up our hands and say, well, I guess God just really didn't get this one right. He just didn't know what he was doing. No, absolutely not. We would never say that. Why? Because our God is omniscient and he has a plan. And even if I don't know what the plan is, I rest in knowing that he has a plan. Amen? Have you ever seen something coming together? Maybe somebody's making some kind of a craft. Maybe somebody's making some type of a meal. And you see all of these components that are being brought together. And you can kind of wonder, like, do they really know what they're doing? I'm not much of a baker. I'm not much of a chef. And if I observe some activities in the kitchen and I see all of these various ingredients and I could sit back and wonder, what in the world? But then when I sit down and I have a good meal, praise the Lord, they knew exactly how much of what to put in and it came together. See, all along I'm wondering, do they have a plan? But yes, they had a plan. And this evening, God has a plan, and it's important for us that we would rest in the plan of God. Number four, if you're taking notes, recognize his work in your life. This is a hard one. Because what happens sometimes is we're in such a hurry to get things going and figure out what the next step is that we don't want to just take that moment to just stop and let God have his way and develop me and teach me and lead me through the situation. But we have to recognize that God is at work in our lives. See, I believe this evening that God is always working. He's always at work in our lives. And he's working to develop us and to strengthen us and to cause us to be more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's working to develop you. He's working to develop me. He's working to increase our faith. He's working to cause us to trust him more and to obey him the way that we ought to. And we find situations in life and we deal with difficulties and adversities. And during the time when the brook dries up, it's important that we say, God, what are you doing in my life? What are you teaching me in this moment? How is it that you're working in my life? It's important that we recognize his work in our lives. See, we want to learn during those times of difficulty and adversity, when the brook dries up, we want to learn more about our Savior. Amen? Learn more about him. God, what is it? You think about all of those examples that I just gave you in Exodus 13 through 17. You know, God was revealing himself to his people. He was proving them. And this evening, how is it that God is revealing himself to us? How is it that God is developing us as we learn more about him? How is it that my faith is being increased? The reality this day is that there are some things that we might face today that if we had faced them earlier in our walk with God, they might have destroyed us. But because God has developed us and because he has taken us through the process and the development, then we find that we're able to learn even more about him and more about his plan. See, God is seeking to develop me. He's seeking to develop you through every event that we encounter in our lives. For this event, for Elijah, God was just developing him. God was just, listen, the instruction's going to come in the next verse. We're going to study it next week. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah. But in that moment, we find that there's some development that is taking place. There's a recognition of God working in our lives. And for us this evening, I hope that we would deal with and we would learn during that time of difficulty to view it in that manner. Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me? How is it that you're trying to develop me? What is it, God, that I need to learn about you, about myself, about your work? God, help me to learn whatever it is that you have for me in this situation. Finally, this evening, number five, We need to rely upon His direction. When the brook dries up, we need to be listening for the voice of the Lord. We need to be seeking and relying upon the direction that God has for us. It's important that Elijah receives the word of the Lord, as the Bible tells us in verse number 8. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, and the direction is given in verse number 9. We'll study verses 8 through 16 next Wednesday evening. But I want you to understand this evening that that direction for Elijah would come from the Lord just at the time that it was supposed to come. This evening, listen, we have the whole canon of Scripture. We've got the whole Bible. We just dealt with on Sunday morning in our Sunday school hour, as we continue to go through the 119th Psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we dealt with that stanza, 105 through 112 in Psalm 119. And we spoke about the blessedness of the direction that God provides for us through His word. And what a blessing it is. And see, when I find myself in a place where the brook dries up, I want to seek the face of God. I want to listen for the voice of God. I want to get into the Word of God and seek the counsel of God, that He would lead us. See, our God is faithful, and our God will provide the direction. And we understand this evening that Elijah, in this particular situation that he finds himself in 1 Kings chapter 17, in verse number 7, he was exactly where God had told him to go. And that's where we talk about, as we look back at this event, that we resist that temptation to doubt. As you look throughout the history of Israel, as you look throughout the times in which the people of God in the New Testament, as the church went forward and the gospel was going forth, as new cities and new villages were being reached with the gospel message, you find often that it was in the leadership of God that they faced adversity. Think about Paul. The first missionary journey, Acts 13. They went to the region of Galatia. The book of Galatians would be written years later, going back to those churches that were founded on that particular journey. But you know that in each city that Paul went to on that first journey, he was ran out of town. In fact, he was stoned and left for dead. Read it. In Acts 13, in Acts 14. And you can see the way in which the adversity... Was it a situation? Oh, I guess we didn't... No, that's exactly where God led them to go. When they received the Macedonian call. Do you remember the second missionary journey? What was the first city they went to? Philippi, right? Lydia they met, right? And then what happened in Philippi? They were imprisoned after they were beaten, right? You say, oh, maybe we didn't listen. No. There are times that God, as He leads us, it'll be leading us directly into a situation where He's going to prove Himself to us beyond our own ability to comprehend, beyond our ability to be able to formulate what is going on. And the thing that's so such a blessing to me this evening is that as we rehearse these biblical accounts, we have to understand this evening that we're reading it as part of history. But they were living it moment by moment. They were living life the same way we live life, moment by moment. We're reading their story. I'm rehearsing to you some things that happened in their life, and we can look back and we can have the blessed opportunity to see how God worked. But they were living moment by moment, right? You ever think about Joseph when he was in the prison cell? That was challenging, right? The pit before that, he was living it day by day, moment by moment, the same way we live life. And when the brook dried up for Elijah, we find there's only one verse of Scripture that's given to us about this event. But I just wonder this evening, how is it that we would respond when the brook dries up? What would we do? How would we deal with it? Here's five thoughts tonight on how we should respond, how we should deal with that event, that circumstance in our life. We must never give in to doubt. We must recognize this evening that if God let us, we're where we're supposed to go, we're where we're supposed to be, and we resist that temptation of doubt. Remember that our God is omniscient. Rest in His plan. Don't be like the children of Israel. We're just brought here to die. We're brought here to be defeated. No, we rest that God has a plan. By the way, for all the hardships that Paul and Silas and Barnabas and those guys faced, there were churches that were established and the gospel went forth to the entire known world. And in fact, we're sitting here today having the gospel as a result of their work. If you trace it all the way back. Yeah, there were some hardships. It was met with opposition. But God is greater. God has a plan. This evening, recognize God's trying to develop you. He's trying to develop me. Development's not always easy. Amen? Have you found it to be the case? It's not always easy when God's developing us. We rely upon Him for direction. The direction came just as it was needed, and we find that God would care for His servant and provide the next steps in what it was that he needed to do. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the opportunity to study Thy Word. We thank You for Your character as it's been revealed to us throughout Your Word. We thank You that You are omniscient, that You do have a perfect plan. We thank You, God, that You're working in our lives to cause us to be conformed to the image of Your Son. That through each event that we encounter in life, that You're seeking to develop us. I pray, God, that we would allow You to have Your will and way in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes upon Thee, even during difficult times, periods of opposition and adversity. Lord, would You help us to just trust Thee, to rely upon Thee. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. We pray that You'd bless our time. We ask that You'd be honored and glorified through all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.